Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. Ricky and I got together less than 2 hours before I left for the airport for my Walt Disney World vacation and answered all the questions from the inbox and from our live chatters. And we had a good time. Lots of questions on Run Disney, the impacts on both registration and what the vacations could be like for the non-runners who now all of a sudden are booked in the middle of a Run Disney weekend. We talk lounges, transportation, and much more on today's show. Don't forget today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's a great free way to support the show with just one extra click, and it really does help. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you so very much to our patrons. You allow us to put out this show 3 or 4 times a week out to the world. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show over on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1928 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Count them up. You still got 10 digits, 10 fingers, 10 toes after the 4th of July. We hope. I mean, yesterday we had the, as we're recording yesterday, we had the 4th of July and of course the long weekend.
What? We record early?
Yeah, we do sometimes because I'm at Walt Disney World right now. So it's kind of the fourth wall has been breached. And actually, if we want to go all in on the breaching of the fourth wall, we are recording this one early in the morning on the day that I'm flying out, recording this on Monday. About 9:30 my time, got to be at the airport at noon. Still haven't packed. Still have a ton of things to do. And but we're here because we want to have one show that was relatively current as possible. So we are here answering your listener questions. So joining me this morning, and she looks like Kelly Ripa because she's got the coffee mug in her hand, like we're on some kind of national, you know, talk show in the morning. We have Ricky from themouseforless.com. What's up, Ricky?
I do. I have my Epcot coffee mug that I got for Christmas a couple years ago. I think my brother bought it at the outlets, so I love my Epcot coffee mug. And I got some good coffee going so I can be alert and awake for this podcast because it's actually my day off because, you know, holiday, so... I mean, but not because it's Wednesday, but you know what I mean.
That's right. It was a good holiday, we could say. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those things where we're getting through it. And then, you know, as you hear this, you can think back to the wonderful time you had over the weekend here in the States. At least I got to throw in the one story. I kind of told it briefly before the show. You know, this weekend we had a great weather in the Midwest. I mean, usually it's either just a bajillion degrees or it's pouring. I mean, it just seems like that in St. Louis. Like we rarely get good weather on the 4th of July, but this year it was like, you know, tolerable. Maybe 90 was the high on the 4th, you know, just sunny, no rain. It was great. So we had family over. A lot of, Pam's family came over. My dad came over and, you know, my brother-in-law, he's a big kid like me. He's a little bit older than me, but he's a big kid like me. So when we get together, it's bad news. What's worse news is when your brother-in-law is friends with somebody that owns a fireworks stand.
Correct.
So he calls me and says, I have enough fireworks to light up your whole neighborhood. So come out to the car when I get there and help me carry in the fireworks. So I'm like, yeah, baby. Because I didn't buy any. Because I was like, well, he said he has enough to light up the whole neighborhood. What's the point of getting more? Because I knew, like, well, at the point, at the time, I didn't know I was flying down the next day.
Right.
I'm going down a day early. I'm already there at this point because of Hurricane Elsa. Now, you're welcome, state of Florida, because as soon as I paid the extra money to change my flight, the thing kind of fell apart. So there you go.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's how it goes. But I said it's a hurricane named Elsa. What are the chances it's Walt Disney World? Probably pretty good if it's got a Disney princess name.
Exactly.
Bad logic. Anyway, back to the fireworks story. So he doesn't just get the little ones because he knows his friend owns the stand, right? So he got the hookup. We get these ones, and here's my favorite thing about the 4th of July fireworks, which I didn't buy any of these things, but he brought them over. They have the best names. I told him, I was like, you got to get one that just has Bertha in the name. Doesn't matter, like Big Bertha, you know, Bertha's Nightmare, you know, something like that. But he's like, no, none of them have the name Bertha. So I was like, well, what are the names? Like, one was like Monday Suck, and one was like, you know, the Camaro 2.0. Nice. But then the one One was the Arizona rattlesnake. I was like, that thing just sounds mean. But I can't. I think it was called the Texas Hustler. Or something. No, it was called the one that. Okay, so we had this one. It was the very first big box, and I'm talking. This is not like your 1980s fireworks. This is a box. It's bigger than a battery in a car. It was huge.
Oh my
on my Instagram, I took a picture of them.
Yeah.
So all our neighbors, we live in a cul-de-sac, you know, all the neighbors caught wind that we had all these big fireworks. So they're all getting out their lawn chairs. You know, I feel like I'm like, you know, pressure, like I'm Disney. You know, like I need to put on some music, some, you know, some do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, get everybody in the new, you know, mood, put up some torches. Everybody's watching. My brother-in-law obviously doesn't live here. He lives like, you know, 20 minutes away. So he can just go home. You know, I can't just go home because my house is in the cul-de-sac. Anyway, we get out this one. It's called the California Illegal. Right. I mean, it's a perfect name.
Oh my God. That's already,
I was like, oh, this one's going to be great. It's called the California Illegal. I was like, this is going to be awesome. So get out the box. He's in there. And then I see it because it's dark. Like I see the thing, the wick spark.
Yeah.
And it's like, get back. Okay. So we run. Well, what happens is the first couple start going straight up. And I mean, they're like big ones. They go, and they do that crackly thing in the sky. You know how wishes used to do? Like, well, then somehow the thing tipped over. Like, and so they're, I mean, these things were huge fireworks. They're bouncing off the house. They're not my house.
No.
They're bouncing off neighbors' houses. I have all these neighbors out in like lawn chairs. They've been drinking all day. I'm like, they're like, and then one hit Mallory, one went in our garage, one went whizzing right past Pam. It was crazy because, I mean, there must have been 150 like shells in this thing. Like it just kept going. And it was just with everyone, it would like inch its way, like it was like a living thing. It was, I mean, people were diving.
You are so lucky that this did not cause
it was crazy. I thought it was just, I thought this was gonna be
we
the last
would have seen Mike on the news going, for I don't real. Know what happened.
Dude, like, it was nuts. I was like, everybody run. It was crazy. So yeah, as far as I can tell, there's been no damage to the houses across the street, but some did blow up like between the houses that were pretty questionable. So
oh my goodness. Yeah, you might want to double check that.
Yeah, that's why we're leaving to the air, leaving for the airport.
Yeah, exactly.
Give people about 10 days to cool off before they, you know, come over
have
and
to see your face again,
confront us. Anyway, so that was our 4th of July. And yeah, hopefully it'll be better next year. But we're going to hop in here and get to your listener questions. That is why we are here. Let's go to the inbox. We have one from Nicole here at West Bend, Wisconsin. I thought it'd be Indiana, but it's Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I have a while until my next Disney trip, but I'm looking at spending some relaxing time in some smaller, less known bars and lounges. Really hoping to plan a stop at Baseline Tap House for the charcuterie plate.
Ding!
Tap that bell, she says. What are your other stops I should consider? Thanks for your wonderful Disney tips. Nicole. All right.
Well, this is a Pam Forrester question if I've ever seen one, right?
You know what? I got a couple. I'm just going to go with Cruise Cup over at the Yacht Club.
Yeah, but I don't think it's open right now.
But she's got a while. So I bet you it will be back open in under normal circumstances. I don't think a lot of people know about it, but they have a great burger. They have a really, really good burger and truffle fries, and it's really small. I would say maybe it maxes out at 50 people, if that.
Yeah, it's a really small place.
But it's cool vibe over there. So I do like Cruise Cup. What about you?
There's a great lounge at Wilderness Lodge, and it is Territory Lounge. It's
that's Pam's.
Really, yes, it's connected to Artist Point, but I've been there a few times. They have some really great appetizers, small plates, and some really good drinks as well. I think in the morning, too, they have some like coffees and some small breakfast items as well, too. So that is another really good choice that I've been to that I really, really like. There's also another one. I haven't been here in a while, but I know it's decent. I don't think they have a lot of like snacky things, though. I think that's kind of its downfall is there's not a lot of snacks there. It's a lot of drinks. It's heavy on drinks. It's the Abracadabra Bar at the Boardwalk. Again, it's connected to Trattoria Al Forno, and it's a really cool theme. It's themed after like magic tricks and stuff like that. So that's a really cool place to go. Like I said, I wish they had a few more like small plates, appetizers. But I think because it's connected to Trattoria Al Forno, I think that they just think you're gonna go eat over there, and so they don't really bring out a lot of stuff there.
I agree. And so just a couple other ones that are kind of off the beaten path. Martha's Vineyard is one.
Oh, yeah.
Bellevue Lounge at the Boardwalk. That's a really cool one because it's got the radios and the old there's usually some like, you know, checkers and the like board type games you can play.
Yes.
Those
I like our chat. Our chat is throwing in a Barcelona lounge. Thank you, Diane. That's awesome.
That's a new one. Yeah.
That is the new one. That's at Coronado Springs in the new Grand Destino Tower. And then Estelle, yes, Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom is fantastic. We ate there on Christmas Day, and it was so great to just hang out there, relax a little bit, grab some small plates and some drinks, and just because it was great because, you know, they're doing the flotillas. And so the flotillas like float right by,
or as we call them in Missouri, pontoon boats.
Yeah, exactly. They float right by you. So that's another really great spot. You know, I know that there are some fantastic ones at Epcot too. But they're a little bit, I don't know. They're not as, I don't know. Like the one in Italy, Tutto Gusto. Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know. They just don't have as much cachet as the other, as Nomad Lounge and Baseline Tap House, which, you know, are definitely two really good ones.
So. All right. Johnny Graham in the live chat. Thanks for joining us here on Mike and Ricky in the Morning. We have a quick question. What is the one thing you have to do every trip? For me, lately I have to buy a ball cap. I've been getting a hat every trip for probably about the last 6 or 7. Just because, I mean, have you ever seen me without a hat? No. Okay,
no.
There you go. It's like my hairpiece.
Because you just, you know, said you got a haircut and everything. I did. And then
I mean, on the sides. That way, if you see it,
we don't
on the
ever
sides,
get to see
good.
It. Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
I know.
You know, because I go so often, which totally sounds like a brag, and I'm not meaning it to. I kind of don't do the same thing over every time. I guess that's kind of my trick. I kind of like to vary things up and do different things, so I get a different experience every single time. So I guess that's my trick. That's what I do every single time. I try to do something different that I haven't done, which, you know, you'd think after the number of times you and I have been like mm-hmm. that, we wouldn't run into things that are new or that we haven't done. But there's still a ton of things I haven't done at Walt Disney World, so I always try to pick something different. Like my trip in a couple of weeks, at this point, I am planning on going to Tusker House, which I've never done.
I just gave up Tusker House. We were going to go this trip, but we're not now. Because we debated Maya Grill or Tusker House, and Maya Grill won.
Oh, you and Maya Grill, yeah. But see, I read a review recently from people that I trust that didn't have the greatest experience at Tusker House with the new menu and the new way they do characters. So I'm like, oh, do I really want to do Tusker House? I've never done it. It would be good to experience it. So I'm debating that, but I think I'm still going to keep it. So.
Oh, yeah. Look at Matt in the live chat. He says the hats at the golf courses are
nice.
Ah,
there you go. Mike's on it.
And they're buy one, get one 50% off. So all I'm going to do is just stand behind Scott and then be like, Scott, dude, we need to get hats. And so I'm going to let Scott go up to the counter and buy a hat. And then I'm going to be like, I'll take the second one for 50% off. But I'm not going to tell him until after. Hopefully he doesn't listen to the show before we do this Sunday.
That's funny.
That'd be a good move. That's what you do with your buddy. You know, you BOGO him is what that is.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
So let's see. We had a question in here from Lori. And this is a very timely question. Best tip for getting two spots in the Wine and Dine 5K. I want to sign up myself and my daughter, but concerned I will only get one spot or none before selling out. Yeah, this is like the nightmare. I know that signing up multiple people, and I used to have to sign up myself, my wife, my daughter, because, you know, we all used to do the races. Now I'm lucky because it's just me on the race weekends usually, so it's a lot easier for registration because I just, you know, power through once I get the sign. I can't remember because I know that we switched over from active. It's been like forever since we've done a registration, but I know that it was through active.com forever. And then the last couple of registrations are strictly through Disney's website. I want to say that there was a way to do multiple registrations at the same time, especially for like kids.
That's good.
But I can't guarantee that.
Yeah.
But I thought that when they switched over to Disney, it was kind of like, you know, like when you're making an ADR, you just say, like for two, and then you fill in, you know, whatever you have, I think. But otherwise, you're just going to want to go through and not mess around with things. Like, this is just the best advice for anybody. You can't mess around with how long it's going to take you for your t-shirt size, right? Who cares? You can swap it out at the expo. That's one.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, like get a close, you know, get something you have, you could use. But yeah. I mean, don't be like, oh, am I an XL or a L? You know, by November, yeah, I'll have eaten Thanksgiving. Don't be like, okay, I'll probably eat a lot of Halloween candy. Don't think about all that stuff. Get something close. And then just, you know, unless you're really into the commemoratives, I don't worry about pre-ordering any of that junk. Like if I get it later, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I want the race experience. So I power through all the stuff as quick as I can. You don't have time to stop and think, really. Yeah. So sad, right? I mean, it's perfect for Disney because just get to the credit card. Exactly. But that's, you know, pretty much it. And then, you know, if you can't do multiples at the same time, then just fire through and go again as quick as you can. But it is Disney system now. Well, at least it was. All right, Jeff's got a question. This was just announced actually the morning that we're recording right now here on Monday. Disney announced this thing at Disney Springs called The Taste of Florida. And I saw some treats. Ricky, I'm sure you're going to be writing on this soon. Did you see this yet? Or did you just roll out of bed?
I mean, I just woke up.
I know it's a little late, but there were some interesting things. I mean, just, you know, like, I don't know what I'm going to have, but you'll see it on Instagram because I probably have been there by now because we don't have park passes for Monday or Tuesday. So I'll probably go to Disney Springs.
Yeah, I would assume that you probably would. Let's see. Did they post it on the parks blog or is it not?
I saw it on Twitter somewhere. Anyway, we'll get to that later. He threw us off.
There it is. The foodie guide to the Florida, the Disney Springs flavor of Florida. Ooh. I mean, the one thing that I have, like, I don't have a problem with, but I don't like a lot of citrusy flavors. And
well, it's kind of what Florida's known for.
Like, exactly. Florida, you know, the summer of the Disney Springs flavors of Florida is definitely a lot of citrusy stuff, which for me doesn't really do it. That sounds like something Brian would enjoy, which is the chocolate chip key lime pie cookie. Of course, that's at Gideon's. So, you know,
great. Making you work for it.
Yeah, you'll have to work for that one. I do like things with shrimp. And so there's a lot of like, The Florida shrimp tacos from Jack Lindsay's Hangar Bar sound really good.
I could do that. Yeah, that sounds good.
They're with watermelon salsa, so I can handle that. It's jerk spice shrimp served in a grilled corn tortilla with watermelon pico de gallo.
Oh, that sounds rocking. I like that.
They still have the Dole Whip watermelon thing, so you could try that, Mike. They have lots of beers, which Brian would
enjoy. I don't drink beer.
No, I was talking about Brian. Yeah. They have the Florida Key Lime Salmon at Raglan Road. Let's see here. I'm just trying to go through a couple of things. Oh, this is what I'm in on. I told you I like shrimp. The Boathouse, they have Key West Peel and Eat Shrimp. It's a seafood class. I mean, this is just the simplest thing. It's Peel and Eat Shrimp with hot drawn butter and cocktail sauce. I mean, how do you get more?
Dude, I'm a simple man with simple needs. Sounds like it was made for me.
Exactly. I mean, this sounds amazing. So, yeah. There's a lot of really great... Strawberry basil margarita at Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill. Tequila Sold. Mixed with strawberry and lime juice garnished with fruit and fresh basil.
Okay, speaking of that, 4th of July, my neighbor brings over and gives me a bottle. Guess what it was?
Oh, it was the tequila.
Churro flavored tequila.
Oh, my goodness.
Know, which I couldn't taste it last night. So I have too much to do. I cannot.
Right? Exactly.
Because he gave it to me like at 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, dude, this is a recipe for this trip never happening. Like, I was like, I got to record a podcast in the morning. I got to pack. I got to work. I was like, oh, you're killing me because it churro tastes. Churro.
And you can't say, I mean, I wouldn't take that to Florida with you. I mean, you could, but you know.
No, I'm not doing that. I guess I could, but yeah, I'm not. No, because then Scott would drink it all. So
right, exactly. That was my point.
And,
Scott would drink it all.
Want to drink it. okay, so to the next question here in the live chat from Diane. She's always here with us, and we appreciate that so very much. She says, heading soon to OKW. For those rookies, that would be Old Key West. And feeling super overwhelmed already by the size of the resort. What requests should I make during check-in? Peninsula Road, Turtle Pond, or bus stop are some of my options. Thank you. Okay, so I've stayed there a couple times just for like one night here and there in like a deluxe studio. But the best time we stayed there was when we split a two-bedroom with Scott's family for about five nights before a cruise. God, man, it was amazing. It was like having a vacation house. That thing was so big. We live.
Yeah, exactly. You live there, yeah.
We stayed right on the golf course. Like, we had a little balcony on our patio. Like, we had a little, you know, basically it was like a deck with a picnic table out there. And it was right over one of the greens on the golf course. Every morning I'd go out there and, you know, have breakfast and look over the golfers starting off the day. Oh, God, it was awesome. So what I would ask for is more. We were in the Turtle Pond area, which worked well because there's a pool back there, a quiet pool. And I want to say, and I don't know if I'm dreaming this because it's been a while, they had a little refreshment stand back at that quiet pool, but it also served like a hot chicken sandwich. And that chicken sandwich was rocking. Nice. Now, I could be totally making that up because it seems like they wouldn't have a chicken sandwich
also, they may not have it right now.
Well, I'm just saying, if it was a dream, it was a good dream. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So, but they did, I think. And I liked being back in that area. But again, what I say with room requests is, you know, don't ask for like, you know, this area or that area. Say, you know, I'd like to have something close to transportation, or I would love to have a golf course view if possible, or, you know, I'd like a quieter area of the resort. So what you're doing there is you're opening yourself up to two things. One is that opens up a lot more rooms that you might not be thinking about, because there's a lot of, you know, rooms that are in the back of the resort, but they're right by a bus stop. Or, you know, if you want a golf course view, you might think the best golf course view is just that section right up at the front, like over that island green as you pull in, it's on the right. But there's a lot of great golf course views way in the back of the resort too. So it gives the cast member more flexibility to try to find you what you want when the time comes. But it is a big resort. I don't know if you're going to have a car or not. That really does help. But you can still get around there. We've been there without a car. But, I mean, it makes it easier. But, God, I love Old Key West. What do you think, Ricky?
Old Key West is fantastic. It's such a great resort. I haven't stayed there in a while. But, again, one of my favorite things to do is to go out in the morning. Now, we had a view of the Sasagula River, and of course this was when they were, you know, running boats on it, and my favorite thing to do was sit out there with a cup of coffee and just watch as the boats went by. Like, there was nothing more peaceful than that. So Old Key West is such a fantastic resort, totally something that people don't think of a lot, I think, you know, when they think of Walt Disney World, because it's so off the beaten path. But it's a great, great resort, and like I said, so close to Disney Springs too, which is, you know, fantastic if you want to spend a lot of time at Disney Springs, or, you know, want to try to get Gideon's cookies all the time. So.
Right, or at least get in line. And Matt, kind of following up on that in the live chat, he's watching on YouTube, and he says, any word on the Friendship boats from Old Key West to Disney's, Disney Springs? No, I haven't heard any word on that. I mean, it would seem like they're going to try to bring those back. But again, it's probably a labor thing where, you know, it's low capacity. You know, if they're going to have some kind of a transportation worker, they're going to be doing something with more guests per person, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. You know, until they can get their capacity back as far as cast members are concerned, you know, things like that are still going to be on the back burner until they can get those things back.
And Pam in the live chat, she's always here with us as well. We appreciate that. Thank you for being here this morning. Surprise. She says, good morning. Any tips for a last minute trip next weekend? Or is that not a thing anymore, flying in from Chicago? You know what? Here's the thing. Because again, I do this a lot for guests, right? If you're listening to this podcast, you like to travel.
Yeah.
And we've been missing it, right? We're all making up for lost time. This trip I'm on right now, my wife didn't get to go to Walt. She hasn't been there since 2019, which, I mean, it's not that big of a time, but for us it is. Like, you know, we
usually
go every summer.
Yeah, that's a long time for you guys.
So she was working hard last year with the virtual stuff, so I'm excited she gets to have a vacation. So, but last minute trips, they're possible, but the thing is, you got to be very flexible, and exactly, because when you're looking for, especially obviously we're talking Walt Disney World, I mean, you may be looking for a particular resort, you might not even find a resort in that category. Like, you might always stay value, you might not find a value, you might, you know, you might have to go deluxe, but just be creative in it and say, you know what, I'll stay in the deluxe, but I'll cut back over here to kind of justify the overall cost of the trip. You know, maybe I won't do that, but I'll, you know, stay there. It can be done, but it can't be done. I'll tell you, it can't be done near as easy as it was, you know, 2019. So what do you think, Ricky?
100%. I mean, the best thing I can have, first of all, like you said, rooms are difficult to get right now. Park pass reservations, make sure you have those unless you're planning on spending your time.
Look at the theme park reservation availability before
exactly.
You do anything.
Yeah. That's going to be so key. So make sure that you can get into a theme park, because if you can't do that, and you don't plan on spending a lot of time at Disney Springs or your resort, then you are out of luck, because you are probably not getting into the park. So you definitely want to make sure you do that. As far as like dining is concerned, again, like I said, flexibility is key. You may not be able to get your favorite dining establishment, but you know, you may get to try a place that you never knew you would like. Kind of like I was saying earlier, one of my favorite things to do is to to do something different on every single trip that I haven't done before. And those last minute trips allow that to happen a lot easier because you have to be a little more creative in what you're doing, choosing dining. As far as not having fast passes, again, another reason I like not having fast pass is that does allow you to be a little more flexible in that regard. You don't have to have those situated ahead of time. So that's handy. I love last minute trips. I've taken many and just they're so great. Just like I said, flexibility is so, so, so key. And you're going to have such a fantastic time. I can guarantee it. Like, it's going to be so great.
It
so,
is. Because last minute trips are just like gravy. You know,
it's, they not, are.
It's not something you've been like, you know, you're worried about the details because you've been thinking about this for 9 months. You know, it's like, oh, man, I'm going to go, going to have fun. And the thing is, too, exactly. Diane brings up a great point in the live chat. Check the app for the available now dining options.
True.
Great, great tip. But it also, if you have to go down for the weekend and only eat counter service, there's a lot of fun things to eat that are counter service. You won't need an ADR, period. You know,
look, I mean, I just went over all the stuff that, you know, they have at, you know, Disney Springs for that fest thing that they're having. But like you said, so many great counter service options have so many unique things. Just keep in mind, you will have to mobile order. Just know if you want to eat at the more heavy times, you will have to mobile order ahead of time or at the end of the night. If you're back at your resort, just know like it may take a while for food at the end of the night too. Even if you just want a Mickey bar, you still have to order that in mobile order. Ooh. And you still have to wait, you know.
No,
probably.
The hack at your hotels, go to the gift shop if it's open. They have the little freezers and you can get one there.
See, there you go. But that's if you just want a Mickey bar. If you want like another kind of snack, you still have to mobile order that and wait, you know, and you're like, I just want a cookie.
Mickey bar in a pinch, man. You got to be creative because I didn't need those.
See, that's where that flexibility comes
in. Exactly right. Yeah, think outside the box. All right, John's got a question here in our inbox. And it's a question on Magical Express. Says, hey, Mike and crew, love the show. We're a family of six and check out of Walt Disney World on August 10th. And we're staying at a local MCO hotel on the night of August 10th as our flight leaves MCO at 7 a.m. on August 11th. Is our only option to Uber to the hotel or could we take Magical Express to MCO and then shuttle to the local hotel for the night? Thanks. Okay, so the way it technically works, and I can just tell you what the rules are, is that you have to have either an inbound flight for Magical Express to take you from Walt Disney World, or from MCO to Walt Disney World, and you have to have an outbound flight to get from your Walt Disney World resort to MCO. Now, you submit those flight information, you just go to disneysmagicalexpress.com, you enter that with your confirmation number, and you put your flights, and that's where they draw everything from there. But you do need to have that inbound and outbound the same day. It's supposed to be the same day. So I don't know. So let me read it one more time. So their flight leaves at 7 a.m. on the 11th. It sounds like he says a local MCO hotel. So I'm guessing if they're staying at the Hyatt, I think, well, I guess that would make sense,
that's
though, because they wouldn't need Magical Express.
Where they're staying, because they wouldn't need to get a car to go to.
Yeah, Hyatt. You would probably need to grab an Uber. I would say, technically, in this case, you need to get an Uber over to MCO that next morning.
If we're being technical, yes. They probably would need
Do as you need to. All right, Belinda's got a question here in the live chat, which I haven't even read yet, but it just popped up. This is kind of dangerous. We're arriving at Walt Disney World on July 14th and staying at Pop Century. Hey, I'm there till the 15th. Make sure you say hello. Not at Pop. I'll be at Caribbean Beach, so we'll be on the Skyliner together. I'll wave to you from my gondola, and you can wave from yours. Okay, here we go. We've been told the Skyliner will start operating 1 hour before park opening. So for a 9 a.m. Hollywood Studios, if they start operating at 8, do you think that is enough time to arrive for rope drop at the studios? Absolutely.
Yes.
100%. Yes. Yeah. Because here's the deal. Now, if you go out, because I've stayed at Pop Century many times since the Skyliner's been online. The line could look long, right? Like if you go out there and say the Skyliner starts operating at 8, okay, like you said. If you go out there at 7:30, there may be a killer line. But the thing is, like once that thing starts going, it swallows people. That line starts trucking, hopefully. Hopefully there's no glitches. But it'll swallow. Now, here's the thing you got to remember from Pop. This is the only thing you got to remember. Is that if you're going to the studios, when you come from Pop, you got to get off the Skyliner at Caribbean Beach. Then you got to get back in line behind all the people from Caribbean Beach that are going to studios. it's not that bad, but you got to factor that in. So I would factor in 15 minutes at the transfer, but then as soon as you're on the gondola from Caribbean Beach to Hollywood Studios, it's probably 5 minutes or less. It's probably 3 minutes, actually.
I think it's like, if I remember right, I think it might be seven.
It is quick.
It's quick. Yeah. It will not take you long. And you'll be there lickety split, and then you'll be able to enter the park. Now they are doing rope drop procedures again. So just letting you know, before they were kind of just letting people come in the park and go wherever, once, you know, transportation started running. Now they are doing rope drop procedures, which means you will have to wait until they, drop the rope.
There's not a rope. There's no rope.
I know, not anymore. They used to have a rope. Actually, Silverdollar
City. It's Silverdollar City. They had like a rope. It was old school.
Yeah.
So old school down there.
Yeah. So anyway, they are keeping guests from entering the park any further than I think it's the front half of the park or something like that.
So watch me. I'll let you know because I'll be there before you.
Of course, he'll be there.
I love that kind of stuff, so I'll be putting it up there. Okay, Jack's got a question in the live chat. Jack's here often. We appreciate that so much. He says, good morning. Well, good morning, afternoon, or evening, whichever suits
whenever
you.
Whenever you're listening. Yep.
What's your best piece of advice for making it through a long 2-day drive to Walt Disney World? One, don't take kids in the back seat. No.
I've done that
many times. It was painful. That's why I made it into one long 1-day drive, because I just wanted to get there and be done with it and just collapse. It's funny because Diane joked about, taking great Disney podcasts, but I'm a person in the car. I have to have, and I know this is like, it's one or the other, but I love talk radio. Like, I love talk radio. So I love podcasts. I listen to podcasts. I always listen to the Trucker Channel on SiriusXM. I've talked about that. It's called Open Road. I'm just enamored by the truck driving industry, like how stuff, the logistics of it all, and how people, they just drive all over the country. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I got to have something that engages my brain. I'm not a music person. That just makes me tired. So I do that. But other than that, Ricky, when you got a road trip, what do you do to kind of get through it?
Yeah. So I am a get there fast kind of person. So I don't really do stops or anything like that. But, definitely stop. Don't follow my advice. Stop and make sure you like get out and stretch legs and stuff like that. Also, I am a music person. So I do I've already put together, Spotify playlists and stuff like that. And so I will listen to music all the time, pretty much while I'm driving. So that's a big thing for me. I used to listen to Disney podcasts while driving, driving down there, but that just got like, for you, it like works to keep your mind going. And it does. I mean, that is kind of a good thing. It's like, it does help the time go because you are listening to something and it's not the same thing over and over again, like music. So I definitely see how Disney, and I did do Disney podcasts for a long time while driving down there. So that's always a good thing too. Things to get you excited about the trip. So maybe Disney music. There's lots of YouTube channels that have great Disney in-park music. I know Brian finds a ton of them. He's got me listening to ones from Tokyo Disneyland because we both want to get out there someday. So we'll do that, or some Walt Disney World tracks, stuff like that. So that's kind of a fun way to get excited for your trip. Have lots of snacks. I think that's
beef
key.
Jerky. This was when I was on WDW Today back in like 2005. That was my tip, beef jerky.
Yes, lots and lots of snacks so you don't get hangry in the car. Have places to throw your garbage. I know that's something that like you don't really think about when you're getting ready, but like seriously, like make sure you have a place to throw
your bed of your pickup.
Yeah, exactly. And other than that, I mean, that's pretty much what we do. Like I said, I make time, so I just want to get down there. But
that's right. Yeah, get the OJ at the Florida Welcome Center, but you got to time it just right because it'll be closed.
See, that's the problem. When I get there, I never make it in time. I'm driving down after work, and so I don't hit the Florida line until like maybe 9-10 o'clock. So it's like that's closed. I can't get in there.
Well, so Joe Laszlo in the live chat says Mike's channeling his inner Jerry Reed from Smokey and the Bandit. That's right. You can call me the Snowman.
There you go.
Because that was his name. But the thing is, I've risked probably a $200 speeding ticket to get the little shot of orange juice because I'm like, oh, it closes at 5 and we're in Valdosta. We're in Valdosta at 4:30, man. I think we can make it. And it's like, oh, my God.
They'll get you down there in Valdosta. I'm just telling you.
Tell me about it. Speaking of Smokey and the Bandit, man, I was making the cannonball run is what was happening there. Okay, Whitney Sanders has a question in the inbox. It says, Wine and Dine 2021, tips for non-runners. She says, hey, Mike and crew. Months ago, I booked a Disney trip for my 6-year-old daughter and myself the first weekend in November. They're going November 4th to the 7th, only to find out a few days ago that this is now the Wine and Dine race weekend. I'm a little worried that now that the weekend will be crazy busy. What can you tell me about how the race weekends work in terms of runners, crowds, events? Any strategies to avoid runners or getting caught in race traffic or events? We're staying at the Swan and we'll be taking Disney transportation. I know we'll have a great time no matter what. Just looking for some tips to help us zag when everybody else zigs. Thanks and love the show. Whitney's down in Memphis, Tennessee. All right. Thanks for listening, Whitney. You're going to be fine. It is busy, but it's busy all the time that weekend just because it's Food and Wine Festival. It's also Veterans Day weekend.
Yeah. And
it's
Christmas
Jersey
picks
week
up.
And it's Jersey week.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Jersey week. Yeah. So there's a lot of things going on that weekend, not just
Wine and Wine. There is. But here's the thing. The runners are going to be out of the parks in the evenings because they're going to go to bed because they're running. Because you got to get out on the bus like at 3 o'clock in the morning. You being at the Swan, that is key. I hear that and I'm excited because you can walk to the studios. You can walk to Epcot. And the thing that kind of gets a little sketchy during a race weekend is like if you're trying to make a rope drop at a Disney park on a bus.
Yep.
Because they have to close roads for the races and they try to make it as, you know, obviously they don't want to inconvenience the guests that much, but there are, I can't remember why, and I'm going to try to register for it. I can't remember though, like where the race runs,
well,
like
it's
the course.
Changed over the past few
it could
years
change too. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, they obviously do have to close some roads, which causes the buses to have to go through detours, which increases the time to get to the parks. But if on those race days, you go to the studios in Epcot, you're just walking. Yeah. You're avoiding. There's no issues at that point. Because remember, right at rope drop, the runners are still out on the course or they're just finishing up. They're showering. Like the only time you see the runners really is like late mornings to say like supper time and they're out.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
I think it'll be fine.
The only thing to worry about is sometimes I know obviously the marathon, you know, marathon weekend and Princess usually runs through that boardwalk area or, you know, the beach club area. So I'm not sure if Wine and Dine is, you know, obviously it's changed over the past few years too. So that may be something you may see runners and you just, again, may have to, you know, zig when others are zagging and go, you know, but there'll be pathways for you to walk if it does go through that route. So
that's right. And Joe's asking, did he miss something? Yeah, Wine and Dine is still, as far as we know, it's still in the morning. God, that was a fun night event. But it was so hot and humid at that race. But I loved it.
It was. I think Disney likes the morning events just because they know how to run them. They know that they have less impact on guests, you know. So I think that's why they like them as morning races.
They had a bad streak of weather there for a few races. Because, the Wine and Dine became the Splash and Dash for a couple years. And then we had... Was it the Wine and Dine, the one that we had to all sit in the ESPN and huddle
that's
up
one,
in the buildings there for like 2 hours while the storm passed? Oh, you
that
ran
that.
That
was
the one they cut
that
to the 7.
That was the one I ran. Yeah, that was the one.
I saw more people get sick during that race than I've seen over the marathons, all the marathons I've done, because by the time we went out, I want to say we started that race around 1 o'clock in the morning.
So late.
Yeah, it was because it was supposed to start like at 10.
Yeah.
But then what happened was we waited for these huge thunderstorms to pass. And then Florida's
humid.
But I mean, it was like running through a wall of water. Like that 7 miles felt like 17. It was wicked bad. It was terrible.
Awful.
People were getting sick everywhere. That was miserable. I'm like, this is it, man.
I have no idea how I finished that race. I'm not even going to lie. No idea how I finished that one.
Well, because the thing is, I think that like most of the runners kind of mentally checked out. Like we're not running this race. Cause we sat in ESPN in the big, you know, Justin Center, you know, in the champions of the arena and stuff like that. We sat in there for a good like hour and a half or 2 hours and rode out this severe thunderstorm warning. I'm like, there's no way. Like it's too late. And
yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Okay, let's
and
line
like,
up.
No, you're going 7 miles.
Oh, yeah. We'll cut it in half. And then I'm like, oh Lord, here we go. Okay. Last question of the day from the inbox. It is from Joanne down in Oklahoma. She says, hey Mike, I'm a new listener. I just started downloading your podcast this summer and have really enjoyed listening during my morning walks. That's awesome. Hey. We got a new listener in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yes. Ring the bell.
Yes. That's awesome.
And it's got to be hot down there too. So you don't, you know, yeah. I mean, I could imagine Oklahoma in the mornings walking. Not fun. I'm taking a family of five to Disney World on January 2nd to the 9th of 2022. I should be there at the same time. Cross my fingers. Hopefully it's marathon weekend. My husband and I have three teenage daughters. I recently read that Run Disney will be returning in 2022. Yes, we are trying to decide between two resorts, the Polynesian with the monorail or the Riviera with the Skyliner. Which resort would you recommend that might have fewer crowds from the marathoners? Do you have any other advice for visiting during this special event? I've heard that the crowds at the parks are not that bad because locals tend to stay away during marathon weekend. Is there any truth to that? Thanks for your fun show, Joanne. In OKLAHOMA. Okay, we kind of talked about that already. I think you're going to be fine. I don't know if the locals stay away, but locals no. Won the races, but I mean, but they don't stay in the hotels.
And locals
probably.
Come out and cheer in the morning a lot of times. True, true. But then they're gone.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. So her primary question is the Polynesian or the Riviera? And she's thinking transportation because she mentioned the monorail or the Skyliner.
Yes.
Man, they're both good choices. And the thing is, let me just tell you this kind of is a general thing, Joanne. Runners tend to be cheap because we spend all of our money on our sneakers. And so we stay at values. But there will be a lot of runners at any hotel during marathon weekend. We're everywhere. I mean, I'm just saying that. I was joking. I mean, that's where a lot of my running friends all stay, you know, maybe a moderate. But the Polynesian will be full of runners. So will the Riv because you got DVC. I don't know. That's so true. I would say, okay, so let's think about this. The Riviera is going to give you Skyliner access to the studios and Epcot. It's also going to let you walk over to Caribbean Beach to take advantage of any amenities over there, you know, dining. Like you say, you want to go to Sebastian's Bistro or something, but you got great amenities at the Riviera. The Polynesian gives you the opportunity to now, you can, depending, I mean, you could take the, well, by January, I'm going to say the monorail's going to be back up, right? It has to be.
I hope. Yeah.
I would guess.
Oh, for the Polynesian?
Yeah. Because remember the monorail's not stopping there right
monorail,
now?
And then the monorail isn't, and it's not coming back yet with the reopening in July either. Oh, we're in July.
But I would say it's probably back by January.
I hope it is. So I would still say the Riviera though. And here's why. Because we don't know about if the Epcot monorail line will be open yet. Again, I hope it would be, but it's not open right now. You only have monorail access if the monorail is open. And like I said, right now, if the monorail is open, you would only have to the Magic Kingdom. So I'm going to say that you should stay at the Riviera because you know for sure you're going to have access to both Epcot and Disney Hollywood Studios. So I'm going to say that. Plus, I feel like the Skyliner really hasn't been open much since the races, you know, but I feel like more people use the monorail, I feel like. Plus, like I said, the monorail, the Skyliner goes so fast that, even if there was a long line, it would go really quickly. So I still think I'm going to go with the Riviera.
I would go with the Riviera more because it's more centrally located too. It's a fun resort, but you can't really go wrong with either because I would say hopefully by January, not only is the monorail running on the resort loop at the Magic Kingdom, but you could also walk over to the TTC and catch a monorail to Epcot. Now, who knows with the construction? We don't know. But under normal circumstances, we'll see.
Under normal circumstances.
So, yeah, I would say if I had to pick Riviera, you said Riviera, so we'll go Riviera. But I think it'll be fine. And hey, we'll have a lot of runners down there, so hopefully we can see you. You know, we got the bright green shirts, BOGP Lizards, and give us a cheer. We're going to get a lot of folks in. All right. Well, hey, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the great questions. You have a question? Send it to Mike at brguestpodcast.com. Put listener question in the heading so we know where it goes, especially because I'm going to be out of the office here so we can get everything in the right folder and all that good stuff. But we'd love to answer your question. Don't forget, of course, today's show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel, as is every show. You can check out all the great services they offer you. Absolutely free to you. And the Magic for Less is a premium. I mean, they're a platinum. I don't know if they're premium. I just added that. I don't think they are.
You did.
I don't think that's a category with Disney. But
I don't think it is.
I think platinum's better anyway. They're a platinum earmarked agency. Not just earmarked, platinum. So that means they are really good at what they do. Their guests love their service. And it's also the amount of trips they book every year to the Disney destination. So check them out over at themagicforless.com. Please continue to use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. We sure appreciate that. Free way to support the show. One click. It's not a big deal. One click. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons. I can't thank you enough. You support the show. You allow us to put this out there. I get to do what I love, and it's pretty amazing. So if you'd like to get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, already recorded the show for tomorrow. We recorded that one a little bit. It's a little bit different. This one's going to be kind of fun, maybe, especially if you're into trivia. And then next Thursday is going to be a show that Scott and I record from Walt Disney World while we're down there. So if you want to get in on all this Mike in the Midwest stuff every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give me a follow on social media. I'm down there right now at Walt Disney World at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram first and on Twitter. Of course, Facebook and YouTube, subscribe to the show over there. And I'm going to ask you one more thing this week. If you don't mind, drop into the Apple Podcast app. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. We'd sure appreciate that. That helps more people find the show. And, you know, we get to expand our little community here, which is great because that's what it really is all about. All right. You know what? I got to go catch a flight. I got to get out of here in less than 2 hours. I got to be at the airport.
He's got to go pack.
I haven't packed. And so I got to get going. So next time I talk to you, it'll be on social media down at Walt Disney World. Crossing our fingers. We're going to have a great time. We're trying to beat Elsa, which kind of isn't a huge thing anymore, but it sure was on Friday when I had to change all my flights and my world was turned upside down. So we will figure it out, but we'll see you from Walt Disney World. So for Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work. Oh, but you know what? It's time for me to go to the Plaza Ice Cream Parlor and get an All-American Sunday.
Stop rubbing it in.
We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.